We have reached approximately the halfway point between the fall holy days and the spring holy days. The Feast of Tabernacles began about 3 months ago, and the Days of Unleavened Bread will begin in approximately 3 months. In fact, as I was driving the other day, Wednesday, I think it was, coming from the Greystone Nursing Home to visit my mother, I saw almost the full moon up there in the sky, because it's the first of the month in April when the Passover will take place. But it's just about 3 months away. But it seems like just yesterday that we were at the feast. And it was a wonderful feast, and there were a lot of good memories from the feast. But as the old saying goes, time flies. It won't be long, and we will begin to talk about and begin to focus on the spring holy days and their great significance for all of us. We'll be talking about and preparing for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, important festivals that God commands us to keep as we follow him. One of the goals that we want to achieve as we continue to go down a path of following God is to go forward in spiritual growth. To go forward in spiritual growth, which is one of the admonitions from God's word. It's also so important not to let what's going on in the world today — there's many distractions in the world today, in the world, in our nation, and with our people, many distractions and problems — we don't want that to cause us to lose focus, on our calling and what God has in store for all of us, and to focus on our spiritual walk with God. Focus on our spiritual walk with God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 to begin the sermon this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 4. And we will begin reading in verse number 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. And there's a title to this section of scripture. And the title is Putting on the New Man. Putting on the New Man. And the Apostle Paul here in this section of scripture makes a contrast between a worldly walk, which we don't want to be doing, and a spiritual walk, which we want to be walking that walk, the spiritual one. Ephesians chapter 4, and again, let's begin in verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now, when we see that walk, the Apostle Paul is referring to our way of life. We don't want to be living that way of life. And it says, as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In other words, the rest of the world, the way the world walks, we don't want to be living that kind of life. Continuing on, he gives some examples of the way of the world's walk in verse 18 and 19. Having their understanding darkened. Having their spiritual understanding darkened. They don't understand God's way of life, and they don't follow God's way of life. You know, we'll be talking about that in the Jeremiah Bible study series. That's what was going on in Jeremiah's day. The people of Judah and Jerusalem were not following God at all. They were spiritually blind, and you have trouble when you do that. And the Apostle Paul's admonishing us to not walk that walk. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness, spiritual blindness of their heart. And I added that spiritual blindness of their heart. The worldly walk, spiritual understanding darkened, being alienated from God. Again, we don't want to be walking that walk. And he gives some more examples here in verse number 19. Who being past feeling — I mean, they don't even really think about it and have it as part of their life — who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So that's not the kind of walk that we want to be walking. He says in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. So we haven't learned to follow Christ by walking the way of the world. Then he gives us some admonition as we continue reading verses 21 and going forward. If indeed you have heard him, speaking of Christ, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And when we see these phrases, heard him and taught by him, it's talking about following Christ, that spiritual walk of following in the footsteps of Christ. And he gives us admonition here of the walk that we want to be walking, verse number 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, your old way of life, the way that we used to do things. The old man, he puts it, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So this is one of the important steps to walk a spiritual walk, is to put off our old way of life, as he puts it, the old man. Then he gives us another step for that spiritual walk in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Another step of the spiritual walk. In other words, God's Holy Spirit guiding our minds down the right path of that spiritual walk. And then another step of the spiritual walk in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man, Paul says. In other words, he's talking about a new way of life, of following Christ. In other words, to go forward in spiritual growth. Go forward in spiritual growth. That's the spiritual walk that we want to be walking. So I have a question for all of us here today. Are you making progress in spiritual growth? That's the title of today's sermon. It's a question. Are you making progress in spiritual growth? Today, let's examine our state of spiritual growth to see if we are making progress. We want to be making progress. We want to be going forward in spiritual growth. Another way to put it is, are you developing a closer relationship with God? And if you are growing, developing a closer relationship with God, you are making spiritual progress. To build our relationship with our great God and to grow in character is a huge part of our calling. It's a wonderful calling that God has given to us, to understand the Sabbath day and what it means in his plan of salvation, to understand what the feast days, the festivals mean in his plan of salvation, that there's purpose for mankind, and God has a plan and a purpose for all. It's a wonderful calling that he has given to us. And yet he wants us to build a relationship with him and to grow into character. And it's so vital to grow in character. So there are some very important steps that we can take to continue to build that relationship with our God. And we'll talk about those in the sermon today. Let's go back to verse number 24. Verse 24, we see this phrase, the new man. The new man, which is talking about a new way of life, spiritually speaking. Not the old life, but a new life of following God in Christ. And there's also, we see this phrase in the last part of verse 24, in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness, that describes God's character. And that's what we want to be developing. Have righteous lives and holy lives following God. So if we put together a summary of this section that we just read here previously in Ephesians chapter 4, we could say, if we are growing in godly character, putting God first in our lives and following Christ and his example, we are putting on a new man. We are walking that way of life, that new life. Putting on the new man is also keeping God's commandments, which are the definition of righteousness, and following Christ's example in our lives, that of service, and to love one another and submitting to God's will. I want to go back to my specific purpose statement that I read earlier, because it leads me into what I want to get into next in this sermon. And that read like this. Today, let's examine our state of spiritual growth to see if we are making progress. And there's a key word in that statement I just gave you, and that is examination. our need to examine our spiritual state. And that's something that we need to be doing often, not just once a year. We do talk about examining ourselves as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, as we well should, because we reflect upon the significance, the great significance of Christ's sacrifice for all of us, his shed blood to cover our sins. And we need to be examining ourselves that we partake of that Passover ceremony in the right attitude and in the right frame of mind and heart. And we do need to examine ourselves before the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. But it's also important to examine ourselves throughout the year. And this is a good time, as we are halfway in between the festival seasons, to take an examination of ourselves. We can ask the question, am I really going forward in spiritual growth and building that relationship with God the way that I need to? I don't think we ask that question of ourselves enough, and we need to do that. And we can even ask God to help us to examine ourselves to make spiritual progress. God would love to hear that from us. Help me to understand if there's changes I need to make in my life so that I can make that progress and go forward, spiritually speaking. David actually did that. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 26. Psalm chapter 26. This is a section where David was asking God to examine and judge him on the basis of his integrity. Some of the commentators and scholars say that most likely David was being accused falsely, that people were pointing the finger at him and accusing him of things. And so he took it before God and said, show me if there's something that I need to do to change in my life. And I'm putting it in my own words. Psalm chapter 26, and let's pick it up in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 26 and verse number 1, Psalm of David. And again, most likely he was being accused falsely. And he says in verse 1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. He was trying to walk the right walk. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. So David was showing that he's putting his trust in God. He's trying to walk with integrity. And therefore, he doesn't want to fall back. He doesn't want to go back to the old way. He wants to keep going forward. And there's actually another psalm, I believe it's Psalm chapter 43 and verse 1, where it's a similar scenario where he says, vindicate me, O Lord, because they're accusing me falsely. So he's being accused of things, but he takes it to God. And notice verse number 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Show me if there's something that I need to change in my life, because people are accusing me of things and I want to walk the right walk. Our English word examine here in verse number 2 means to examine, to try, and to prove. And actually, the theological word book of the Old Testament says that this word examine from the Hebrew means to examine in a spiritual sense. To examine in a spiritual sense. And that's what David was asking God for, to help him to make spiritual progress. Expositor's commentary adds this: David is offering a complete examination. A complete examination. So we can ask God to help us examine our spiritual state. We can ask God, am I making progress growing in character? Am I making progress growing in the fruits of the Spirit? Am I making progress in caring for my fellow man? And help me to do those things. I want to be an example, and I want to be growing. Help me to do those things. And David wanted to walk that walk as well. Let's go to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. This is another prayer of David for asking for examination. Psalm chapter 139. And we'll read verses 23 and 24. Psalm chapter 139, beginning in verse number 23. Again, Psalm of David. He says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Notice he says, search me. This is not just a casual plea, but a sincere one. A sincere one from the heart, as he's asking God. Continuing on, verse 24, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there's any wicked way in me, if there's anything that I need to change in my life. And I would say that it's also implied by David, help me to overcome it. Show me what I'm doing wrong, a wicked way, and help me to overcome it. What Paul called putting off the old man and putting on the new man. David also says here in the last part of verse 24, lead me in the way everlasting, which for us means to be led by God's Holy Spirit so that we can continue down the road to conversion, on the road to eternal life, to be part of God's family. So examining our spiritual state is valuable and important throughout the year, and we should be doing it more often. Hold your place in Psalm 139 because we'll be coming back there. If you've got a marker of some kind, put it in there because we'll be coming back here. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. This is one of those scriptures we turn to before the Passover and the days of unleavened bread when we sincerely want to examine ourselves before we partake of the Passover ceremony. But I think it's also important to read in examining our spiritual progress. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Apostle Paul writing here, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, he says, examine yourselves, and he's talking to his two disciples, he's talking to us as disciples, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. As to whether you are in the faith. So it's something that we should take seriously. Am I solid in the faith? Or am I drifting? Do I need to get my foot back on the right path? On the right way of following God? Things that I need to change? Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. And then he adds, test yourselves. Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And whether you are really following God. You know, we don't want to be like the people of Jeremiah's day, and we'll talk about this as we get more into the Bible study series, but they were hypocritical in their worship, very hypocritical. And Jeremiah points that out, inspired by God. They were just giving lip service to God, saying, yes, we're worshiping God, while really they were worshiping their idols and building their high places and serving Baal. But just saying that they were worshiping God. They claim to be worshiping God, but not living a righteous life. And this will be something that an important lesson we'll learn as we study Jeremiah. The people of Jeremiah's day claimed to be worshiping God, but their spiritual state was horrible, absolutely horrible. So much so, you know, from the leadership all the way down to the common people, God had to send judgment upon the people of Judah and Jerusalem, the Babylonian army. And you know that we'll talk about that more as we go through it. So test yourselves, talking about a thorough examination of our spiritual state. And that's important for spiritual progress. So as we continue on now in this sermon, let's take a look at some specifics that we need to examine so that we can make that spiritual progress. And these aren't anything that we don't know. These are things that we've known throughout the years. But we need just every now and then stop and consider. Am I doing as well as I should be in this area? And the first step to examine our spiritual state is to examine and evaluate if your prayer life is what it should be. Let me repeat that. Examine and evaluate if your prayer life is what it should be. This is a very important tool for our spiritual progress, and that is sincere prayer. Let's go back to Psalm 139. I had a purpose for holding that particular spot because David's prayer before God here was a very sincere prayer as he sought God. Psalm 139, back to verse number 23. We'll read this again. He says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. David's prayer here was not for physical wants or physical needs, but he was focused on the spiritual. Know my heart, try me, know my anxieties. Verse number 24, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Possibly there was something wrong in his character that he didn't really see previously, and that he wanted God to reveal and show him so that he could work on it. And he also asked God to lead and guide him on the correct path towards everlasting life. That was a sincere prayer, and that's what we need to be doing as well. And we can take the time, evaluate, is my prayer life the way it should be? Because prayer life is important to make spiritual progress. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. There's a very important formula laid out here in these verses, formula for seeking after God. And you're going to see as we read through this, three times it's repeated, if you'll do this, and there's going to be results if you do this. Proverbs chapter 2. And let's pick it up in verse number 1. Starts out with this word if. And this is a formula here, a formula for spiritual success, what we're going to read in these verses. Verse number 1, my son, if you receive my words, God's words, and we have those words in front of us we're reading today, and treasure my commands with you, like they are treasure and gold, we're seeking after it, like a pot of gold. Verse number 2 describes the effort we put into our spiritual life. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 2 describes the effort involved in seeking a godly way of life. Notice, incline your ear, you know, like stretch your ear to listen and take it in, and apply it in your heart, God's words, as we take them in. Then verse number 3 and 4 talks about our prayer life. Begins with that word if again. Verse 3, if you cry out for discernment, crying out for discernment in our prayers, you know, God, help me to have correct discernment, help me to make the right decisions, help me to go the right way. If you cry out for discernment, if you lift your voice up for understanding, spiritual understanding, wouldn't it be great if the billions of people upon this planet asked for God for spiritual understanding and to live his way of life? Well, that's going to happen in the future when Christ returns. But for us today, we want to be crying out for that spiritual understanding, part of our prayer life. Verse number 4 starts out with that word if again. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, you know, wisdom and understanding from God as we cry out to him in our prayers, the results are in verse number 5. Notice the results. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Spiritual progress and spiritual growth are described here. Learning godly fear and spiritual understanding. If we seek after God with all of our heart, like David did, lifting up our voice for discernment and understanding. Our prayers are a vital part of making spiritual progress. Hold your place in Proverbs chapter 2 here, again, if you got a marker. And let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Here James talks about an attitude in seeking God's will and also faith in seeking God. James chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verse number 5, also begins with this word if. Verse number 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you know, spiritual wisdom, wisdom from God, what do we do? Let him ask of God. God, give me that spiritual understanding, that wisdom that I need to make those right decisions, the right choices, and to stay on that right walk, the path of putting on a new man. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And notice the last part of verse number 5. And it will be given to him. That's a promise from God. If we ask with a sincere heart and a right attitude to help me to have godly wisdom and spiritual understanding, God will give it to us. He'd love to hear that from us. Continuing on, more admonition from James in verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So our attitude of seeking to do God's will and faith in him is important in seeking God in prayer. And that's one of those things, one of those elements that we need to examine to make spiritual progress. Is my prayer life the way it needs to be? And we can seek after God with the right heart and the right attitude. A second step of making spiritual progress is the study of God's word, what we simply call Bible study. And I'll add not only just Bible study, but diligent Bible study, taking in God's word and applying it in our lives. We'll see that. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse number 6. Again, this formula for spiritual progress written in these words we're reading here in Proverbs 2, verse number 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And we have those words here in the scriptures that we have in front of us here today that we're reading and looking at. For the Lord gives wisdom, spiritual wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Verse number 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, those who are wanting to walk the right walk and putting on the new man. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, following God and keeping his word and his commandments. God is a shield to us and guides us and leads us. Verse number 8, he guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. And then notice verse number 9. If we follow this formula that we've been reading here of seeking God in prayer and in sincere prayer and studying his word and taking in that sound wisdom and understanding, here's the results in verse number 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. And we'll be going down the right path, the path that God wants us to continue on. Spiritual progress, taking in and applying God's word through our study, and you will understand righteousness and justice, God's way, the good and right path to continue our walk of spiritual progress. And we need to examine every now and then. Am I studying God's word enough? Am I applying it in my life and putting it to use? Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. Some well-known scriptures to all of us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Spiritual progress that we want to make and keep going down that right path. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me, let's go to chapter 2 first. Scripture that we very well know. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Verse number 15, and I'm reading in the New King James Version here. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, if you're reading in the original King James Version, it reads, study to show yourself approved. And I'd like to combine the two of those words from the New King James and the King James Version. Diligent study is what we want to be doing. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker, a godly worker, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we rightly divide the word of truth by our diligent study. Let's drop over to chapter 3 now. Before what we're going to read in verse number 14, the Apostle Paul is talking about the last days and the things that are going to be taking place in the last days. Some terrible things, like what's read in verse 13. Notice chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we can be deceived. There's a deceiver, Satan the devil, that wants to get us off the right path and get us on the wrong path. He wants to deceive us. But how do we counter that deception? Let's continue reading in verse 14. But you, and that's talking to all of us as disciples, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, and knowing from whom you have learned them. We have to continue in God's word, diligently studying, so that the deceiver doesn't get at us and get us going down the wrong path. Verse 15, he's talking to Timothy here, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And God's word does help us to be wise and to understand his plan of salvation. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So much that it's so spiritually valuable for each and every one of us. And then the results of our diligent study and applying God's word in our lives, continuing to study. Here's the results in verse 17. That the man of God, talking about us as disciples, may be complete. And I would add, spiritually complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what we want to be doing, to make spiritual progress. And our diligent study of God's word helps us to go forward making that spiritual progress. So we've talked about examination, that we need to examine ourselves. Are we solidly in the faith, or are we drifting? We also need to examine, is my prayer life the way it should be? Do I need to make improvements? More time dedicated to God and seeking God. Also examining our study life. Am I studying God's word enough? Do I need to put more time into applying God's word? And then a third important tool to make spiritual progress is using God's Holy Spirit. Taking advantage of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. God's Holy Spirit helps us to put all this together, to be examining ourselves, to be examining our prayer life and our Bible study life, and whether we are following in the footsteps of Christ and his example and loving one another, helping each other. God's Holy Spirit helps us to do those things. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and we can do that when we are developing a relationship with our great God. 1 John chapter 3, just a few pages forward. 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verse 24. Here in this section of scripture, previously, the Apostle John was talking about keeping the commandments and loving one another. And notice in verse 24, he says this, 1 John 3 and verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. Talking about that relationship, when we see that phrase abiding in him and him abiding in us, we're talking about that relationship that's being built between us and God and us and Christ. He who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that's been given to us. That's how we know that we're developing that relationship with our great God, by God's Holy Spirit working within us and helping us to make those changes that we need to be making in going on to conversion. God's Holy Spirit has to be involved in working in us to make spiritual progress. We want to make spiritual progress, and we need God's Holy Spirit working in us. And of course, we know the formula from what the Apostle Peter told us on that day of Pentecost, which is written in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And when we go through that process, have the hands laid upon us, and we receive God's Holy Spirit, it's our helper. It helps us to continue on in spiritual growth and to go forward. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And you know, you've heard me say this time and time again throughout the years that I've been here, that after the disciples had partaken of the New Testament symbols and were walking along the road to Gethsemane, in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16, he's admonishing them because Christ knows what he's going to be going through. He knows just ahead of him, he's going to be arrested and tried and put to death. And he also knew what the disciples were going to be going through, that many of them would be arrested, put in prison. Many of them would become martyrs for their beliefs. And so he's encouraging them. And he tells them that they've got help. And that help is going to be coming when the Holy Spirit would come on that day of Pentecost. John chapter 16. And you're probably already there, and I'm still flipping. John chapter 16. And I want to focus on verse 13. But let's pick it up in verse number 1. John chapter 16 and verse number 1, we read, and Christ is talking to the disciples that were walking along with him and talking to us as disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Christ doesn't want disciples to stumble and fall backward. He wants them to continue going on forward. Then he gives this admonition in verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. You're going to be going through some tough, tough times. They're going to try to kill you. And they're going to do all kinds of terrible things to you. But let's go down to verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, that he was going to be leaving them, of course, when he would be arrested, tried, and put to death. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, and this is a promise, I will send it to you. And that was pointing to the day of Pentecost. And he knew the disciples were going to need that help. And we need that help as disciples too, so that we can go forward and make spiritual progress. And it's our guide and our lead. Notice verse 13. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, because it is a power, it will guide you into all truth. You know, the truth that the rest of the world doesn't understand. God's Holy Spirit helps us to understand the deep hidden things that God wants us to understand. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak and will tell you things to come. It is our guide. It leads us and it helps us. And it's a power that can help us to make that spiritual progress. And we need to take advantage of it. You know, when we have those times when we have our trials or troubles or whatever it might be, problems, and we all do. I mean, we're human beings and we go through things. Health issues. Oh, boy, we're all going to go through health issues at one time or another. Problems, trials, whatever they are. God, help me to go forward in this trial that I'm going through. Give me that strength by means of your Holy Spirit. God would love to hear that from us, and he will help us. He promises us, especially if we got the right attitude and the right heart. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. It also helps us to make overcoming possible. Very soon, a couple months is going to go by pretty quick. Seems like they always do. We're going to be focusing on the Passover and the days of unleavened bread and talking about the need to be overcoming. And the Holy Spirit helps us to make overcoming possible. We've got that human nature. We have somebody that tries to pull us away, the deceiver. But God, we have something going for us. God's Holy Spirit that helps us and helps us to overcome. Romans chapter 8, and let's pick it up in verse 14. Very familiar verse to all of us, but has so much deep significance and meaning. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, it leads us, guides us, and helps us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, to become a part of God's family in the kingdom, to be helping Christ and helping those people in the future, part of God's family, leads and guides us. It also helps us in our weaknesses in so many spiritual ways. Let's drop down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Notice that word helps there. I've got that underlined in my Bible because it does help us in our weaknesses. And we have many of them, all of us do. But we have something, again, going for us, the Holy Spirit, to help us. Then Paul gives us an example of one of the weaknesses that we have. Sometimes we don't know how to pray the way we should. Continuing on, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You know, and that can happen to us, you know, where, okay, what do I need to pray about today? And what do I need to have focused in my mind as I pray and everything? Well, God's Holy Spirit can help us to do that, to remember the people that we need to be praying for around the world, in our congregation, that the gospel message continues to go on strongly throughout the world, preaching the message of Christ's coming kingdom, God's coming kingdom, and that we can be overcomers as well. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit can help us and move us to make our prayers more effective. It can help us to make our prayers more effective. Likewise, as we face trials and difficulties, the Holy Spirit can help us in those struggles. It's difficult to do it on our own. And if we try to fight those difficulties and trials on our own, we struggle. But we have help. We have help, God's Holy Spirit, to help us in our time of need. We must remember that. So we've been talking about in the sermon today the need to examine ourselves, not on a continual basis, not just maybe one time a year. We can examine our prayer life. We can examine our Bible study work. Is it sufficient the way it should be? And examine if we are using God's Holy Spirit and taking advantage of it the way that we truly can. Now I want to finish up by going to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. And we'll read verses 5 through 8. Here in this section of Jeremiah, and remember I've mentioned to you that the people in Jeremiah's day were not following God. Their spiritual understanding was darkened. They were going downhill and going downhill fast. And in this particular section, Jeremiah makes a contrast between those who trust in God, put their trust and hope in God, and those who do not trust in God. Because those who trust in God make spiritual progress. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's read verses 5 through 8. Here's this contrast. Verse number 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. And so often we, because we're human beings, we can do that. In Jeremiah's day, something that we'll focus on here in not too long in the future, is the nation of Judah and a couple of the kings of Judah, instead of turning to God in their time of trouble, they turned to Egypt. They turned to Egypt for help when they had God on their side. And that's one of the points that Jeremiah is making here. We have God. We can turn to him. But you trust in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And that was going on in Jeremiah's day. Their heart was departing from God, and we don't want to have that to happen to us. Then notice how he describes one whose heart departs from the Lord in this analogy of one being out in the middle of the desert. Verse number 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. If you got any pictures, maybe from a Bible commentary or a book or anything, I've got several at home. You can look at a picture of a desert scene, and you might see just one little shrub or bush out in the middle of the desert in the sand. And that's the picture here, that you're all alone. You've departed from God, and there you are out in the middle of nowhere with nothing. And that's the point that's being made here. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. You're out there in the desert where there's nothing, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's the one who does not trust in God, does not make spiritual progress. But here's the contrast as we continue on in verse number 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. That's talking about one who builds his relationship, his or her relationship with God, trusting in God and hoping in the Lord. And what will be the results? The spiritual results. Verse number 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, a tree that's got its roots into the waters that can flourish and grow strong is the image in the picture here. Spiritually speaking, flourishes because you're trusting and hoping in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It continues to spread out its roots to take in that spiritual water and grow. Continuing on, the middle part of verse number 8, and will not fear when the heat comes. The heat here symbolizes trials and problems and tests. But someone who trusts in God, whose hope is in the Lord, building that relationship, when those tests and those problems come, you don't fear. God is on your side, and you have that help. Will not fear when the heat comes, and its leaf will be green. You know, we're in that time of the year now, in the winter time, when the trees have lost their leaves, everything's brown and dingy and dull. But soon, in a couple more months or so, the leaves will start to come back. Life comes in green, and it's beautiful. It's what we call a flourishing landscape. And what's being described here is a flourishing spiritual landscape for us when we follow God and trust in him. Its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Drought symbolizing trials or troubles that come along. You won't be anxious. And then finally, the last part of verse number 8 here, those who are building that relationship with God and making spiritual progress, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Yielding fruit, spiritual fruit, fruits of the Spirit, and growing in godly character. That's the kind of spiritual progress we want to be making. And it comes from trusting in the Lord and hoping in the Lord, building a relationship with him and making spiritual progress. And that's something that we want to be focusing on now as we begin this new calendar year and we go forward and look forward to the coming spring holidays, to be making spiritual progress. Now is a good time, as we are in between the fall and the spring holidays, to take a good look at ourselves and examine if we are making spiritual progress. We can ask these questions. Am I making progress in my prayers? Sincerely seeking God in a right attitude? We can also ask, am I seeking God after his will like it is treasure through my Bible study and using it and asking God's will to be done in my life as I learn and study his word? We can also ask God to help us by means of his Holy Spirit to make that spiritual progress. We can ask, am I putting on the new man, going forward in godly character and growing in the fruits of the Spirit? That's what we want to be doing, staying on the road to conversion and become part of God's family. So let's be determined, each and every one of us, to go forward each and every day, and let's make spiritual progress as true disciples of Jesus Christ.